We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by our beat reporter, Alex Hooper. Alex, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
No problem, bud. How are we?
We are good. A lot better than Skipper Terry Francona, I promise you that. But you just heard from the skipper about a few minutes ago. Did he say anything in regards to just any updates across the team or anything that we need to know about as we transition off just a really tough loss for the Indians last night?
He did make the comment about Jason Kipnis being out of the lineup. You know, obviously he's been pulled from two straight games with some hamstring issues, and this is just more of a product of that, plus the idea that they're facing a lefty today. So that was really the only thing. He did talk about Tomlin a little bit, but that was just more about his role in the bullpen and just how it's been affected by not being out there every single day. But pretty slow news day early on.
Andrew Miller threw another bullpen session on Saturday. Looks like everything went well there. What's the latest with Miller? Because this bullpen could use it, Hooper.
Yeah, absolutely. He won't be rushed back. He's obviously not going to make it back in this homestand. That was said a couple days ago. But he's going to throw another outing off the mound tomorrow. Threw 20 pitches yesterday, like you said. I think they should know by the end of the All-Star break just how quickly he will be back. I imagine that transition, you know, into a minor league rehab assignment will happen right there about, you know, the All-Star break, maybe even if teams are still playing soon thereafter. It shouldn't be too much longer. I would imagine it's by the end of July that Andrew's back, but they don't want to put a timetable on it. They're avoiding that sort of thing. So that's just kind of speculation on my part.
I opened up the show and I was talking about a play from Friday night, the one where Lindor steals home up 7-4, one out in the seventh. Jose steals second. Francisco goes for home. It was not really a bang-bang play, but in my eyes, Edwin Encarnacion's at the plate. It's an exciting play. It's a fun brain. I'm trying to have my analyst side of things take over from my fan side of things, where I know it was not a smart baseball play, but for guys like Lindor, some players are good for good play for good players. I've referenced the step-back three in basketball. It's a bad shot. When James Harden takes it, though, it becomes a good shot. Is this just the type of move where maybe Francisco has more leeway than the rest of Major League Baseball in that regard because he knows how to not only keep pitchers on their feet, but he knows how to run the bases so well?
I think that's absolutely the case with everything you just said and the fact that, you know, this team's really been ramping up their activity on the base paths. They've just been trying to be more aggressive, and you've seen that kind of catch on. I wrote kind of a satirical piece the other night on Edwin himself being the base running king. But he was running through stop signs, moving up on ground balls, moving up on wild pitches, moving up on, you know, sacrifice flies and scoring, things like that. And it's just a mindset thing overall. I mean, these guys want to be more aggressive. Obviously, you have to temper it and play within yourself. But yeah, I think because it is Francisco Lindor, because he is, you know, fleet of foot, he's not the fastest guy in the league, but he's quick. And he's smart, and he read the play well, and he was, you know, down the third baseline pretty far when Lucroy threw through anyway. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for him, and he's a guy who, again, with that mindset, he can energize a squad. He can energize an entire bench by making a play like that. So it is big in that regard.
So I love the green light there, and I love Tito's comments after about it energizing the team and energizing the fans and getting there. Because it is. It's a cool play. It's a fun play from a cool guy, right? I love that. But will we see that in the postseason? Because if that happens in Game 2 of the ALDS, and let's say Lindor doesn't have his hook slide where he then puts his left arm around the left leg of the A's catcher and is safe, let's say he gets caught out there, he's a national punching bag for that move with one out with Edwin Encarnacion at the plate and runners on first and third.
Yeah, in a three-run game, I don't think it happens in the postseason. I think maybe they're a little more tempered. But again, Frankie is not a guy who sits back and, you know, overanalyzes the situation. He's got a great feel for the game, and I think in that sort of situation, he still might go for it, and it still might be encouraged, just because that's the kind of team they want to be. That's how they create a lot of their runs. And, you know, it's hard to say exactly what he would do in that situation, but he's the kind of guy that I think would play off the emotion and the adrenaline of that situation, and it's a play that he can make. Also, I think that play looked a little more close than it was just because of how catchers have to defend home now.
Yeah.
Where they can't, you know, Lucroy's on the opposite side of the plate, things like that, which Tito talked about how that irks him as well, but that wasn't really your question. But I think with him we might see it, and with Hosey we might see it. He's been a little over aggressive at times. But, yeah, I think at that point, especially in a three-run game, that is what would change that in the postseason.
Alex, I've been avoiding saying his name. You brought it up, so that opens the floodgates, I guess. It's kind of like people with Washington's football club. You know, once you say it, then you just went down that hole, and you might as well just open it up and just let it go. Jonathan Lucroy, the reception. I was there Friday night, and I just find it funny that everyone still boos him and keeps him on that Cleveland crap list that we keep just so extensively adding to.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I sent out a tweet about it the other night, and I think people took it as I was just flabbergasted that people were still booing Jonathan Lucroy. And the reason, anytime I tweet something, I mean, you have to know me, I think, and know that my sense of humor is pretty dry, especially online. And I think the whole situation is really humorous. You know, it wound up being a good thing for the Indians that they kept Francisco Mejia and Greg Allen and Chang and Sean Armstrong, allowed you to open up some international pool money, things like that. But, I mean, deep down, people think that Lucroy said no to Cleveland because he didn't like Cleveland, because Clevelanders are used to being slighted. But the fact of the matter was, Jonathan Lucroy said no to Cleveland because he wasn't going to catch in his contract year the following year. They thought he might play first base. So it was really a money move for Lucroy, and, you know, the narrative turned, and now people hate him, and it's pretty funny. I don't think Lucroy really cares, although his numbers at the plate in Cleveland since that point may indicate otherwise, but it's funny. I think a lot of people even do it ironically at this point, which to me adds another layer of humor entirely.
If we're doing Manny Machado tracker, where do the Indians stand today among the six other teams that are involved in the process?
I think, to my estimation, I would put them third in that race. I would give them the third best odds. But I continue to think that teams who can offer Manny a long-term contract after the year, have a chance to keep him for the long term, I think that will eventually be what turns the tide in trade talks. I think that, you know, if, say, the Phillies or the Dodgers want to go after Manny now and feel he can really boost their playoff odds, and it will also help them to keep him through the season, have him through the season and say, hey, this is the kind of organization we have, this is the kind of role you're going to have, look going forward, I think teams will be willing to pony up a little more in that regard. But, you know, I could be wrong. They could be looking at it as, hey, we'll just get him next season and have him for the long haul, and we'll go after him then. It doesn't necessarily up our chances to get him now, so maybe we don't want to pay as much. And when it just comes down to minor league capital, I think the Indians have more of that than most teams, especially teams willing to spend it. So we're never going to know until it happens. It's always tough to diagnose trade talks without being in the room or being on the phone, especially when there's six teams involved. So that's just how I would handicap it personally. But I think all bets are off, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
Were you surprised by Tito's comments on Francisco Mejia? You know, you have the risk versus reward of seeing him play now, and I get it for the Indians. You keep him down until after the trade deadline. We've talked about that theory floating around there, that maybe they don't want to put Mejia out there because if he struggles for several weeks, all of a sudden his trade value does get diminished. But I thought Francona kind of tripped himself up a little bit yesterday. He said he really wants to be a catcher, didn't disagree with that, but he thought there was moments where his heart isn't in it as much as maybe he could be. But then he followed on to say that, well, maybe he's just not quite there yet. And I don't think it's come kind of maybe as fast as we hoped. Which one is it from Terry Francona on the status of Francisco Mejia?
Well, I think it's very much both. I think if Mejia wants to be a catcher and doesn't necessarily want to be a right fielder, then what would be the incentive to become a better right fielder? Obviously, I mean, you would think he wants to get up to the majors as fast as possible, but I think seeing value in yourself as a catcher, a premier position where you can earn more money, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's necessarily a horrible indicator of Mejia's character at all. I think from the outside perspective, we can just look at all these guys and be like, well, if you just want to get in the bigs, then why wouldn't you want to help your team win? And it doesn't always go that way. And if you see yourself as a catcher, a position you played for, you know, your entire career, and if that's where the money's at, then maybe you might be a little reluctant to play right field. And when you're a top touted prospect for so long, I don't know why all of a sudden you would want to pivot. So I don't think he has developed as quickly as a right fielder as maybe they've wanted, and I think maybe that's been a self-inflicted wound for Francisco. I think maybe he's been trying to avoid it while not completely tanking his own value himself. But I've long thought that this was a situation where Mejia makes sense to be traded. And if other teams take that as, you know, a negative personality trait because he doesn't want to make the quickest move to get to the majors, then that does diminish his trade value a little bit. But a high-value prospect is a high-value prospect, and I think the Indians could still get plenty back for him. So if he's going to be blocked at catcher, and if you don't think he's going to play right field, then I think you look for someone controllable that will help you during this window, and you go ahead and make the move.
That sounds like a frustrated employee more than anything else. It reminds me of, but he can look at it, though. He can see, you know, Joe Mauer's value at catcher is the reason why he got him, paid him generational wealth and a big-time contract. Joe Mauer's a first baseman, doesn't necessarily have that same appeal. I totally get it from both sides of things, but then you also open yourself up to being shipped and to being traded. So where is that cutoff line then? I've seen Brad Hand have a Francisco Mejia type, at least comeback, at least as far as for people that would generate that type of return. If we're talking relievers and outfielders, taking Manny Machado off the table here, where is the cutoff for people that you think the Indians would trade Mejia for?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't like the idea of trading a high-value catcher for a reliever.
Okay,
even if
me neither. Me neither. Yes.
I don't like the idea of it at all. If it's Brad Hand, I think San Diego has to pay a ton of that contract, first of all. I don't think you can do a one-for-one swap. I think the Padres need to eat a lot of that contract, and Brad Hand is pretty darn valuable. So maybe unless they see Mejia as this giant value play, then I don't necessarily know why they would do that and eat the amount of contract that the Indians might need. But yeah, I'm not into that. I think if you can include Mejia in a deal that gets you Michael Givens back in a Machado trade, and then you're still adding plenty, that would have to be like a mega, mega deal to make that something that's valuable on both sides if you look at everything. So it's an interesting proposition. I don't know that there's an outfielder on the block that is worth Francisco Mejia. And I don't know that a reliever makes a good value for him. Unless, if it's a two-for-one and you're getting a controllable reliever and a legitimate upgrade in right field who may be a rental, then I think it makes sense at that point. But it's not like you're going to trade him to San Diego for Brad Hand and, like, Will Myers, speaking of contracts that would need to be eaten. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think the one upgrade in right field that makes sense to me off the bat is Andrew McCutchen, and unless you were getting a big-time reliever who is controllable back with McCutchen, I don't think that makes sense. So,
Will Myers,
as much as I say, go ahead.
I was going to say, Will Myers, part of that James Shields, Jake Odorizzi trade that won the Kansas City Royals a championship so long ago, is now just relegated to being an Alex Hooper garbage player, and I love that. I love that we got there, Alex.
I don't hate Will Myers. I just hate the contract for this team, especially if you're taking on Brad Hand. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Great stuff.
For a mid-level market, yeah.
Great stuff, Alex. I agree with you. And on that point, then, we see very tiny opportunity and very minimal chances that Mejia actually gets moved at this deadline if you break it down to that degree. Alex Hooper, our Indians beat reporter on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Alex, I appreciate the time. Great stuff as always, man.
Anytime, bud.